an extra 6 months, but it's finally here. It's Masters Week. And the tagline this year is a Masters unlike any other. Hi, and welcome into the Grow Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bubka. So proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., much better known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. We're in an unfamiliar situation, but I'm totally ready for this week. How about you, Jay, man?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Masters, it wouldn't be matter if it was played the week after Christmas. I mean, it's the Masters. It's going to be unique. It's going to be different. If you look at the forecast, it's going to be wet. But you know what? It's the Masters.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking this morning? It's like that you have a upcoming date with the prettiest female in the world, and you're going to be staying at this magnificent castle. And then you find out the castle no longer is available. You're going to have to just stay in a log cabin. But it doesn't deter from the excitement. I mean, the overall picture is the same. The green jacket's going to be awarded on Sunday. And, you know, whoever gets that green jacket is not going to be one bit upset about the fact that it was in November rather than April.
No, they'll be happy they get to defend their championship real quick. It won't bother them one bit to come back in April and do it again. So many stories that we're going to get to. It's going to be a unique 4 days. I think it's going to be great.
Well, the Houston Open, ironically enough, used to be held the week before the Masters, and then everything gets changed around, but it ends up being the week before the Masters. And they had a November date here in Houston, and, you know, there was a fairly, nice crowd. I think they kept it to somewhere around 2,000. But, you know, in watching it, Jay, and seeing it unfold, 2,000 certainly was better than nothing, and the fans appreciated it, and I think a lot of the players appreciated it. And I was pretty impressed. 37 players that played in that Houston Open, Jay, are also in the Masters.
Yeah, Bob, I think when the Houston Open was awarded the fall date, they never thought they'd have that type of a field, and it turned out to be a heck of a final round with a lot of big names, but a newcomer gets in the winner's circle.
Feels great. It's been a while. It's been, I think, almost 6 years since I won, and then I missed it. I've played great this week, and it was really hard to hold the emotions all the way to the end, but I'm really happy the way it played out and the way I played too. I think I did a great job today. Mentally too, I've been working really hard on staying positive, patient, and don't let my emotions get the best of me. And I think I did an amazing job this week. How I said, I'm really happy the way everything played out. And then obviously this time went my way. I feel like I've put on the work. My team has been working with me really hard, and I'm just happy. It was awesome. Getting a win, it was amazing, but getting here in Texas, it made it even better. Texas is like my second home state. I've been here 12 years now, and I'm just really grateful to this state. You know, it's an amazing place. People are great to me. They're really friendly, and how you guys could see today, they were cheering for me. So it was a great experience, and I'm just really happy it happened here.
You know, a little sweet of winning at home, Jay.
Well, and you mentioned the limited crowds that were there. It was evident, if you could catch what the response was, that there were a lot of people there rooting and speaking Spanish and responding in Spanish when Ortiz would do something. So I thought that was very unique. And, I mean, hats off to this kid. He's got Hideki. He's got DJ. He's got Koepka. He's got some other big names breathing down his neck. And he just flat out got it done. That shot he hit into the par five on the back nine that left him about 8 feet for eagle. He didn't make the putt. That would have sealed the deal. But, I mean, that showed me a lot. Hats off to Carlos Ortiz, who's been out there doing it a long time. Was a real good amateur player back in 2011 and 12. And, you know, it's taken him a while, but he's got a W now after 118 starts, and he'll be at Augusta in April.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, people don't realize that, you know, being successful on the PGA Tour is you win, if you're lucky, maybe every 30, 40, 50 starts, some people more. Carlos, yep. First win in 118 starts. That's pretty difficult to show up for work every week. And at the end of the week, the boss says, well, you didn't do a good job. Come back next week. Certainly, Carlos Ortiz did a good job.
Well, no question. And doing a good job finally in a final round was Hideki Matsuyama. I mean, he has been missing on Sundays. He had a good round, and he ends up finishing tied for second with Dustin Johnson, making his second start of the fall to prepare for the Masters. And then there's Brooks Koepka, who has been a mystery man with the injury and then back and then not back and then what's going to happen. And 65-65 over the weekend, 10 under par to jump up to tied for 50. You wonder what that momentum means for the man that was the player consultant on this golf course with Tom Doak heading into next week.
Yeah, and Dustin Johnson has now finished first or second in five of his last six starts on the PGA Tour, and this marks his 16th second-place finish in his career. I mean, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, he's won 23 times and finished second 16 times. That, to me, shows a lot of consistency.
You know, you get a sense that right now, at least, if you took a post-Tiger domination poll, I think two guys stand out, Dustin, and I'm not taking anything away from Koepka. We'll see where Koepka goes the next couple of years, but I think Dustin and Rory would be battling for that top spot in the post-Tiger era.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And as soon as that last putt fell in Houston, it was all eyes towards Augusta, Georgia, and, you know, the trip down Magnolia Lane. In a way, I feel sorry for a lot of the businesses, Jay, and a lot of homeowners that reside in Augusta because they rent their house out. It pays for their annual vacation. You know, those are the people that are really taking it on the chin without having a normal Masters. They're not going to have the business that they're accustomed to, and that's got to hurt a little bit.
Well, there's no question. I mean, there are some people that pay their mortgage for the year this week. I mean, it's dramatic, some of the pricing that's down there for homes and hotels and places you'd pay $59 a night for that are $389. But we're having it. It is tough for them. The Masters has tried to do some unique things and for the patrons, not for the general public. I mean, I can't get on and get the taste of the Masters back because I'm not a patron. I don't have a ticket for this year. But that also shows that they don't just say, you know what, boy, look at this. There's no Masters. Nobody gets to come. Let's everybody get a taste and make a whole lot of money. So they're not greedy. You know, I hope everything comes off without a hitch. I will tell you, you look at the forecast, and it looks like a disaster. I mean, rain is scheduled for every single day, starting Tuesday with the practice rounds. They can do a lot of magic with the sub-air system, as you know, Bob, but that thing's going to really potentially have to be on overdrive to keep those greens where they want them.
Yeah, the weather certainly at this juncture, obviously subject to change at any moment, but if you're looking at that forecast, you cannot have a smile on your face. I know one thing, sounded like you might have been complaining just a little bit because you do not have a ticket for this week. so that you can't get involved in that magnificent Masters pack that they're putting together. I couldn't believe it. I mean, just think, a pound of pimento cheese, a pound of egg salad, a few other things, and to really sweeten the package, they're going to put a plastic cup in there that says Masters on it, all for $150. Boy, you better, I think you better buy early because it might be going fast.
I think they give you four cups. I mean, they probably sold 3,000 or 4,000 of them to the patrons that just have to have their taste. The Green Jacket tradition started in 1937. Sam Snead, or the tradition, the Masters Tournament started in 37. Snead was the first to wear a green jacket, Samuel Jackson, in 1949. And the winners can keep the jacket for a year, but then it's returned and kept at the club.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff as far as that goes. I mean, that green jacket is, you know, what a great prize. I mean, you can win a lot of different things, winning a lot of different tournaments. But I still contend that probably the greatest single trophy that you can ever get playing golf is probably being awarded, you know, that green jacket.
You know, I grew up in the Midwest, and my dad had come from the Northeast, if you will, or the Middle Atlantic, and he was a U.S. Open guy. But when I went to the University of South Carolina and my freshman year went to Augusta for the first time, it took a while, but I moved away from the Open to where the Masters, I think you're right, Bob, is the ultimate prize.
Yeah, it's something that little kids start thinking about. I think part of the reason that the Masters is held in such high regard, Jay, is the fact that people that watch the event on TV really know the golf course because they've seen it so many times. You know, a U.S. Open, it moves from course to course, a PGA course to course, the Open Championship course to course. Masters, because it's only played in this one spot, as a TV viewer sitting at home with your friends, you know a lot more about that golf course than, you know, any other golf course where tournaments are played.
By far, Bob. I think that's the thing. And that's also the relationship fans have with the golf course is because of their knowledge of it, their remembrance of shots, their remembrance of hole locations. No question about it. I couldn't agree with you more. And now it's time, Bob, to start looking at who are the favorites. I mean, you know, who are the guys that you know, are the ones that we think will play well, and you start off with the guy we were talking about looking for his 24th win, and that's Dustin Johnson, who has finished first or second in five of his last six starts on tour. Hard to think he's not going to be there come Sunday.
Very well said, Jay, and don't forget, what was it, 2 years ago, Dustin Johnson arrived in Augusta having won the last three times he had teed it up, and then in a rental home, apparently yep. slipped on some wooden stairs and sustained an injury, and he had to withdraw. So this actually represents the second time that Dustin Johnson is coming into the Masters, certainly in peak form.
No doubt about it. My guy, as anybody who listens to this show has heard me say for the whole summer, is John Rahm. I just think this is the place where he's going to win at some point. You just see the jacket being put on Rombo, and I think he's going to have a big week. He's learned a lot about controlling his temper, and I think he's ready to follow in Seve and Jose Maria's footsteps.
And I think the grill room, only right that we give a big shout-out on the 20—he turned 26th on November 10th. Happy birthday, John Rahm. seems like he's getting old so fast, or maybe it's you and I that are doing that.
I think it's more you and I than Rombo.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that.
I mean, you say Rory, and Bob, we talked last year about his amazing consistency, the most consistent year in his career. It led him to zero majors and tremendous disappointment at the British Open on his homeland, but it also led him to five victories and a Players' Championship and the way he played down the stretch on the tour schedule. This year, it's been a mixed bag. The consistency has been lost. You wonder if he can find it this week at Augusta.
I got a good feeling about Rory. You know, the spotlight hasn't really been shining the brightest on him. He's able to, you know, fly a little bit under the radar. I don't know how much that is worth. You know, obviously, a lot of strong conversation about Brooks Koepka, Mr. Major Championship winner. I mean, he seems back healthy. You know, Brooks Koepka certainly has proven that he could win at any time and in any place. The one guy, Jay, I want to get your opinion on, he seems like he could be a little bit of a sleeper, even though he's won a U.S. Open, and that is, you know, Simpson. You got to like his chances.
Here's the unique thing about Webb Simpson, and you mentioned flying under the radar. He even flies under the radar when he's playing well sometimes. The unique thing about him, his best finish in the Masters was last year, tied for fifth. His previous best finish was the year before when he tied for 20th. He really hadn't had much success in his previous five or six. I think he's a very interesting guy to watch because he carries the ball a fairly long way. If you do get the reins, and we're going to talk about it with Bryson coming up, there's a theory that the further you carry it, the better you are if it's sloppy and real wet. I think Webb Simpson is a guy that's going to show up on Daddy's Fantasy, DraftKings team.
What about Jason Day? You know, Jay, Jason Day, certainly has all the talent in the world. I don't know on a weekly basis how healthy he is physically. He seemed fairly fit, didn't show any signs of discomfort whatsoever while competing in Houston. I mean, when he's firing on all cylinders, Day could get the job done.
The discomfort on Sunday in Houston was his start. It was horrid. Terrible. I mean, just awful. I'm sitting here going, again, he was on my DraftKings team. I should mention that, why my venom is up a little bit. But then he birdies three of the last five to get himself back into decent position. Jason Day is a hard guy to jump on board because of the injury, because of the unknown, and because of some weird starts. Justin Thomas, who's a guy that's just a heartbeat away from joining Rory and DJ as an elite or the elite players of the post-Tiger era. He's never had a top 10 at Augusta, but he has been playing a little bit better there every year. He is one of the top three choices and certainly to be reckoned with, Bob.
Yeah, we haven't talked about Tommy Fleetwood in the grill room recently. Really hadn't done anything great coming out of COVID. Matter of fact, he's only made $35,000 in the new season. He certainly, in my estimation, Jay, has the moxie and the talent to get the job done. The thing that I'm curious about, if Tommy Fleetwood were to go on to win, will he have enough time to run to the hairdresser to get that hair tidied up a bit before he puts that green jacket on?
I don't think you're going to have to worry about the haircut. I like Tommy Fleet, as you know. but I think it's asking a little much the way he has played recently. I'd be more bullish on Tyrrell Hatton, who has been playing well, won the BMW championship, even though he's not that stellar or hasn't been that stellar at Augusta. A lot of people are high on Lee Westwood. I'm not. He has made 11 cuts at Augusta over the years. He does say he's in the best shape, but I think this one here's my, I think the Irish, the Ulstermen, if you will, are going to do better than the Brits, partly because of the weather. And if you look at the crew, I'll tell you a guy to watch out for. Shane Lowry woke up in Houston. Now, while he hasn't played that well at Augusta, he was in the top five in strokes gained on Sunday. Shane Lowry's a guy not to sleep on this week.
Oh, Shane Lowry's a real deal. We got to see that at Royal Port Rush, winning the Open Championship in his home country. You know, that takes an awful lot of talent. What about Phil the Thrill, Jay Randolph Jr.? I know it would be magical, but how the heck can you count Phil out? You know, who knows what he's capable of?
It's not a count in or a count out. It's Phil being Phil, and we'll see how he does. Interesting, he makes the decision not to go to the Charles Schwab Cup Championship on the Champions Tour. Plays in Houston, mixed bag over the first 2 days, plays better the second day. It would surprise me, but it wouldn't stun me. I mean, you never know with Phil Mickelson and what can happen there. And that leads us to this guy, the second to last player we're going to talk about, because as we saw in the last tournament conducted at this historic golf course, he did exactly what he needed in the final round and won his fifth championship. I'm talking about Tiger Woods. We've not seen anything that really shows us he's ready to pounce or ready to do much. But it is Augusta, and it is Tiger.
Well, we've done a pretty good job of keeping the giant elephant out of the room as long as we can. But we have to bring up the name Bryson DeChambeau, more so from some earlier reports that I've gotten on his practice rounds this week at Augusta. I mean, some of the stories are like crazy. I mean, the par 5 second hole, heard he hit an 8-iron. He had a 9-iron into the par 5 13th hole. I mean, if he's going to do that to the par 5s, how's anybody going to ever keep up with him?
Well, Jack Nicklaus, who it does appear has come out on the losing end in the presidential election, made a statement that is one that is the most scary of all. He thinks in the next 3 to 5 years, Bryson will drive the first green. Now, if you've been to Augusta, it's not even something you would even ponder or think about or even discuss. This is going to be interesting, Bob. I mean, a lot of hype it's as hyped up as it can get. If he dismantles this golf course and wins by 4 or 5, we thought that the reaction to the U.S. Open was significant. If he follows up the Open with that type of performance at Augusta, we're going to have a hell of an offseason with a lot of things discussed. And Fred Ridley will be the most busy man, the chairman of Augusta, from the moment the putt drops on Sunday until he's ready to tee it up in April for the next championship.
Well, the one word you just said, Jay, is something that is not mentioned as often as I think. We talk about Bryson DeChambeau on how far he hits the golf ball, but he is a remarkable putter in reality.
Yes.
And if there's one piece of arsenal you need in your golf bag when you tee off on Augusta National, and that is the short stick, Bryson DeChambeau can putt lies, eyes out, but you know, it's not that easy on Augusta National greens. I mean, yeah, you probably could hit 18 good putts and not make one. So, you know, being a good putter is a requirement, but well, would it be enough to carry him over the threshold? My contention is if he's got such short shots into these par fours and par fives, X number of putts at some point have to start going in.
Well, and that's why a lot of people are looking at the man who was the runner-up at the U.S. Open, Matthew Wolff, as somebody to consider. I mentioned that driver carry number that everybody, you know, we may be getting way too enthralled with numbers off the tee and numbers into greens. You still have to play this game. Bryson has only played in two Masters. He played as the reigning U.S. amateur champion, and that was his best finish, a tie for 21st as the low am in 2016. He was tied for 38 in 29th last year. This is his third Masters. But he, you know, this year he was fourth at the PGA, first at the U.S. Open, and the way people are writing and talking, Bob, we may be set up for another DeChambeau destruction.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely amazing because certainly Augusta has more than stood the test of time. It might be in line for its biggest challenge ever, and that would be the game of Bryson DeChambeau.
Well, Bob has put together some audio from different players as they arrived at Augusta. Let's take a listen to some of the players that'll be trying to win this year's green jacket.
Well, Jay, it could be a huge week for Rory McIlroy, who's looking to complete his career Grand Slam, and he says he's ready to go.
You know, my game feels good, and you know, I've hit it well. You know, over the past couple of weeks in practice up here playing, you know, playing a couple of practice rounds the last 2 days. I feel as in control as I have been for a while. And that adds to that, you know, relaxed feeling. You know that it's in there. It's just a matter of going out and just getting out of my own way and just playing, you know, play with freedom.
The number one player in the world, Dustin Johnson, says he just wants to be in the hunt on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I just need to keep putting myself in the situations, and you know, I'm playing good enough golf where, you know, I feel like if I can put myself in that position come Sunday, you know, I like my chances, but, you know, we got to get there first.
Tiger Woods, defending champion and winner of 5 green jackets, says he expects to be a factor.
It can be done. You know, this is a golf course in which, you know, understanding how to play and where to miss it and how to hit the shots around here, it helps. And that's one of the reasons why you see, you know, past champions, Bernie and Bernard, be able to contend, you know, so late in their careers, and hopefully I'll be one of those guys.
Well, everyone has been asking about Bryson DeChambeau, and he's talking about using a 48-inch driver. Here's what he had to say about it.
Gone through at least 3 or 4 iterations of the shaft, and this is the most promising one yet. I had about 4 to 5 miles an hour in ball speed increase. I got my swing speed up to 143, 144 on the range, and the dispersion's the same. The spin rate was even down. So, I mean, it looks really promising right now. I'm not 100% sure if I'll put it in play yet just because of the unknown, but if it is an improvement on every facet of launch conditions, then I don't see why not.
And finally, what would it mean to John Rahm to add a green jacket to the 5 that already belong to Seve, Jose Maria, and Sergio?
It would mean a lot, you know. And I would say this sets Spanish history of champions here with 3 great champions and 3 idols of mine that I would love to be able to add my name to that list, you know. And especially this year, being a little bit sad that Sergio's not going to be able to be a part of this. You know, my heart goes out to him. I know he had some bad times with COVID, losing family members, and now he's got it with symptoms as well, apparently. So knowing how special this week is for him, you know, hoping a speedy recovery for him. And just the history, right? I mean, I think this is the 40th anniversary of Seve's first win here at Augusta. You know, 5 green jackets that go out to Spain. Hopefully I can be the 6th. I'm ready for it, so I hope it happens.
Well, Bob, now it's time for you and I to make our picks. I might as well go first because mine is no stranger. I have been on this guy for a long time. I think the first major is coming this Sunday. I think it's for John Rahm. I just think that his time has come.
Boy, I tell you what, it's going to resemble maybe more like a bullfight than a golf tournament if the final twosome on Sunday happens to be John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau. I can't get off of the DeChambeau horse, and I know Joe Keefe, a longtime golf professional, he's riding on Bryson DeChambeau also. Could be interesting no matter what. It's certainly going to be enjoyable.
Look at Bob taking the chalk, taking DeChambeau. Well, after we hear about Gateway National Golf Links, the mouth that roars returns. Alex Maselli with his thoughts on the 84th Masters. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay.
Enjoy golf as it was meant to be played at Gateway National Golf Links, a stunning links-style course in the St. Louis area. After all, it is the number one public golf course in St. Louis, and it's the only one with bent grass fairways. Only public course in the region with bent grass fairways. Gateway National offers golfers the rare opportunity to return to the rich traditions of the game with rolling links in the heart of the country. Gentle mounds and plenty of tall grasses. Spacious fairways, and of course, when you play number three, well, you just aim for the Gateway Arch. That's right, the iconic St. Louis Arch is right there. Gateway National Golf Links, the number one public golf course in St. Louis and the only one with bent grass, with a friendly staff to make your day a memorable one, to make your tee time the best way and the best rates, are online at gatewaynational.com. Gateway National, always in great shape. And remember that website, gatewaynational.com. That's where you'll find the best rates, gatewaynational.com.
Time now to welcome back into the Grill Room the founder of Morning Read. You know him as Alex Maselli. I know him as a good friend for many years. And Alex, as we're on the threshold of what certainly is going to be a historic Masters, my first question to you is, in what way, or is there a single way that the Masters being played in November is going to be completely different from a Masters decided in April?
No, I don't really think so, Bobby. I think, the grasses are the grasses. The same, they overseed, and it's overseeded when we get there in April. The temperatures are basically be about the same as they would be in April. There'll be some rain, but again, that doesn't really change anything. There's rain in April as well. I think you'll get some cooler mornings maybe than you would normally. But they're going to start, I think they'll start on Thursday, Friday at about 8 o'clock. But on the weekend, you know, they'll start normal time. So I don't really think that you're looking at really that much difference at all, actually.
You know, one thing that I was thinking about, a lesser name. I mean, obviously anybody that's teeing it up, in the Masters has earned their way there, and they're, they represent some of the best golfers in the world. But I was thinking that, you know, a lesser-known player might have it a little easier. I mean, the Masters known for its huge, you know, fan reaction or patron reaction, to be more specific, down at Augusta, without those kind of roars that are certainly louder for the superstars, does that make it easier for, you know, more of a surprise winner?
Well, I think, you know, if you go back to the PGA Championship this year when Colin Morikawa won, there was some discussion about the fact that, you know, he didn't have to deal with the fan reaction during the down the stretch on Sunday. And you're right. In Augusta, I mean, the fan reaction, especially on the back nine, is tremendous. So I think that it would be easier for someone that is unfamiliar with the situation to probably do as well with fans, where, and without fans, I think they probably have a little better chance. That being said, when we start talking about, you know, who do we look at that we think is going to win this year, the same names come up in November as they do in April.
In your opinion, is it going to play harder or easier in November than it does in April?
Well, I would have thought, generally, I would have thought, you know, if conditions had been what I would have thought in November, you know, probably a little cooler, maybe a little wetter, I would have thought that the course would have played longer. But I think with the conditions we're talking about, I don't think it's going to matter that much. And, you know, you see some of the numbers that I've seen just from Bryson DeChambeau in practice rounds. Now, obviously, Bryson is trying to do something that others have never really succeeded at, completely overpower Augusta National. People could say maybe Tiger did, but I don't think he's overpowered to the extent that I'm looking at the numbers for Bryson. I mean, he's got nine iron into the second hole, when he's got a sand wedge into the first hole, when he's got a 7 iron into the eighth hole, he's got a 9 iron into the wedge into the ninth hole. I mean, those are not numbers that you would normally hear about. So, but putting him aside, I think just generally the golf course is probably going to play a little easier. It probably won't play as fast, I think. But I don't know. I mean, it's so hard to tell, Bobby.
What does, if anything, Augusta National do if Bryson has those clubs? You know, he's hitting 8 or 9 irons into par fives for his second shot. What opportunities does Augusta National have to make the course competitive again, if any opportunities?
Well, I mean, I think it's always going to be competitive. You have to remember, you're playing a major championship, and again, you know, some of it has to do, or a lot of it has to do, really, with the emotions that you go through in that situation. They've already acquired more land, as we know, from Augusta Country Club, and that there's this discussion about making the 13th hole longer. But that's all they could do there. I don't think that they can do much more with the land. Now, that's if they wanted to keep the current way the thing is within this current footprint. If they wanted to change 5 more, if they wanted to change 4, because of the land that they acquired, where we actually were, as you know, Bobby, where we park where we're used to park, rather, for the Masters, meaning the media. They wanted to change those where Berkman Road used to be. That can be done. What can be done at 15, I don't know. What can be done at 17, I don't know. There's no longer a tree there. What can be done at 18, they really haven't done much with that. But could they do something with 18? Probably. They could probably move that tee back if they wanted to. So there are things that they probably could do. But at some point, you change the characteristic of the golf course. It's no longer what Alistair McKenzie and Bobby Jones built and designed. And is that what you want to do if you're Augusta National? I think the answer would be probably not.
All right, before we let you go, 2 or 3 names in the Alex Maselli crystal ball that would not surprise you if they came out on top and slip on a green jacket next Sunday.
Well, I mean, Bryson is certainly in that top 3 category. I don't think there's any question about that. We don't have to talk about why. Everybody knows. You know, it's interesting how Dustin Johnson has been able to do over the last couple months with his game. He's really played just superior golf. And you would have thought, coming off of the COVID situation, you probably wouldn't have shown up as well as he did in Houston, but clearly he did. So it's hard to say Dustin Johnson isn't the guy you like at Augusta. It's just that I've never really liked his game at Augusta. So, but I have to go with, you know, the guy that's hot. So yeah, I think he'd be another one. And then after that, you know, there's one guy that hasn't played at Augusta ever before, at least not in the Masters, that I think would be, because of his length, could have a really good chance this week, and that'd be Cameron Champ. He's shown at times in other events, that big events, that he's got game to at least compete in. Obviously, Augusta's a little different, and everybody talks about the fact that you need to know the course and have played the course somewhat, meaning at least a couple times in regards to championships, before you have a chance. Not everybody is a Fuzzy Zeller. But I think Cameron Champ is one of those guys that maybe has a chance this week.
3 good picks by Alex Maselli. A little wager on one of those may get you some money. Alex, thank you, and enjoy the Masters.
Or may not, Bobby. Remember that. Or may not.